Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pope.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, no matter where you are in the virtual neighborhood or community or circle of Life is a Sacred Journey. I am your host, Michelle Pope, and it is my delight and honor every Friday, 8 a.m., to join you wherever you are, hopefully with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or orange juice or water, or if you're on vacation, a mimosa. I'm thinking about vacations right now because I'm so excited. I'm preparing for my daughter's graduation, and while it's it's from St. Mary's College here in the Bay Area, and we had to make a schedule, and we're going to drive up, and they're going to take a picture, and she's going to get her diploma. But I just am so proud of her. She managed to do her BS degree in business. And she is done and plans to take a year off and then start law school. So I am so excited, and I am just a pumped up mom this morning because she is one of my best friends, and she has taught me so much about being in this world as a human being. And one of the things that she has taught me is resilience and perseverance. And she is working with the California Youth Coalition, California Coalition for Youth. And next week, we will be bringing their executive director to Life is a Sacred Journey to talk about an upcoming youth summit that they're having. And many of you know, this is my thing now, is how do we work with our millennials, XYZ folks, and really help to mentor leadership and to learn. I mean, again, mentor and learn from the generations that are coming up around us. They have been so pivotal in all of the Black Lives Matter movements and many of the other movements of our time. And I think they are the leaders that we should be following. But first, we need to be in discussion, and we need to level the playing field of ageism, and we need to level the playing field of division and power so that we can be equal in a room and just be people who are learning together. So this youth summit, we're going to learn more about it, learn how we can become engaged and maybe even support. But it's a good time for us to really expand our minds. I want to thank Ashton Applewhite for joining us last week because I've been thinking about her time with us ever since. And this whole idea of ageism, and even I speak with ageism terms about myself, and I realize that. And so, you know, we're all a work in progress. We're all clay being molded. So as we continue to learn these things and search ourselves, it is wonderful to learn and to grow. And I want to thank all the guests that have come to Life is a Sacred Journey to help us to grow and to help us to, you know, just really take in knowledge and then decide what works for us, what doesn't, and then to also be a part of a greater community. So I want to thank you all for being a part of a greater community here at Life is a Sacred Journey. Yesterday I had the honor of meeting an incredible human being, Dr. Reverend Tex, Tex's last name. I'll find it in a minute. But and he has written many, many books. And he is a graduate of Boston University, and he is a theologian, of course, and someone whom I have I fell in love with yesterday, and I'll find the name of his book in a minute. And he and I are going to be on a panel talking about more than this racism and oppression. We're going to be talking about the systematic thing that is tearing apart the working class. And he came, he spoke yesterday about family and the concept of family. And what if we took the concept, the values, everything that makes up a healthy family into our thinking as we built teams, as we built programs, as we built churches, as we did things in the world? What if we thought about family and power, positioning, where people are placed in that positioning, and really began to dismantle that or eradicate those onion peels of what separates a family? He put that in my mind, and I started last night reviewing the last month and year of Martin Luther King's life. And what I realized that was happening there was this transformation from sitting on the bus, walking, passive revolt, and all of that, to the singular message of civil rights, to the more universal message of poverty and the eradication of poverty for all people, because when people are oppressed, living in poverty, they are more likely to be oppressors because they are so oppressed, and therefore the poverty creates a space for division. And I've been thinking about that because not too long after Martin Luther King sort of made that messaging in one of his sermons and speeches, he was killed. So I think to myself, all right, well, the Civil Rights Act stuff was signed, and the message was being switched to how do we become one under the civil rights now that we've created a pathway for our Black Americans and changed the law a little bit. How do we get rid of poverty? I mean, I really think Martin Luther King is not being researched and really spoken about in the totality of his message. His message was about eradicating poverty. Because when you can't eat and you have no roof over your head and you're not educated and you're not and you have mental health issues, you have no family, you have no environment in which you can be fostered and learn and grow, then wow, that creates an individual that, wow, that's not a person that can go out to the world and give or experience love. So I start this morning that way just to give you something to ponder through the weekend, and then I want to actually now go into talking more about COVID. I kind of want to bring us up to date on that because somebody said something in a meeting that I was in yesterday, and I need everybody to know certain things, the myths that or the preconceived ideas about having the vaccine and really what that means. So I've done some homework for you so that I can bring you up to speed on a couple of things around that. But I did speak to my friend G, who you met last year when he was talking about what was happening for him as he was sheltering in place in Dubai. And yesterday was his birthday. And so happy birthday, G, one more time. I want to wish you a happy birthday. And I'm so excited about your new adventure. He's moving on to from France to another place where he will be just starting a new career, and that's a really exciting thing. So happy birthday, G. Yay, happy birthday to you. So in light of talking to G, I realized that what I learned is the virus is spreading again at a record pace globally. USA Today, as of April 19th, said despite the increase in vaccines that are finally hitting the European shores, and some of our other countries, because the U.S. Actually, we had a lot of vaccines, and so we've really put a dent in the number of people that need vaccine, as well as the number of vaccines that are available. And actually, the United States opened up this week for all adults to be vaccinated. So if you are over the age of 16, you are eligible for a vaccine. And you can sign up, call your primary care physician, and let's get this crowdsourcing thing done. What that means is that there's a math where if everybody is vaccinated, then the probability of us passing COVID to each other diminishes. So there's a crowd effect around that. So that means let's just use your family as your social bubble. If you have a social bubble of four or five people, six, nine in your family, that's been your social bubble for the last 14 months or 13, yeah, wow, 14 months, 13 months, whatever, then you all get vaccinated, then that's now your increased social bubble. But if you go into another setting where not everybody in that circle is vaccinated and one person has COVID, then even though you are all vaccinated, you will not feel the symptoms of COVID. That's the hypothesis of the vaccine. But it doesn't mean that you don't get COVID and that you cannot pass it to someone else. So that's the thing with COVID that we have to understand. The vaccine, why we want everyone, you know, when I finally, the light bulb went on for me, why we want everyone to have the COVID vaccine is because we really want to say stop the spread so that we can't spread it to each other. So that really is a clear understanding, because somebody said to me, oh, I don't have to wear a mask and I can come in, I can go. No, you cannot go into a public setting. You could not come into this building without a mask, with still not without having your temperature taken. We had a meeting this week with the Department of Public Health and the Department of Aging, and we're slowly beginning to open and think about the June 23rd date that the governor has given us that we can relaunch, and we're looking at that. But we're going to gradually bring people in, and we're going to be bringing people in for very short periods of time. So we can still, you still have to keep social distancing. You still have to do certain things, even though you have the vaccine. The vaccine is protecting us from getting sick and all of that. So the spread stops when we have a mass of people that are vaccinated. But the U.S. is doing a really good job. We're putting a dent in it. I will read for you. It says there were, as of a week ending Saturday, the Johns Hopkins University said that there were a record 363,000 new cases reported across the world. So there's still a growth in COVID. And they said at that pace, nearly 9 cases are being reported every second. So we're not out of the woods. And then it says the growth in cases is being pushed by a stunning spike in India, which is now reporting more than 1.5 million infections every week. Just a month ago, that figure was about 200,000. So you can see that's a large percentage of growth of people being diagnosed. The United States, again, which opened up vaccination eligibility for all adults on Monday, Brazil and Turkey are the other nations reporting more than 400,000 cases per week. And with India, the four countries account for most of the world's new cases, and according to USA Today, as of April 19th. And again, COVID-19 deaths are still below the peak of more than 100,000 per week. About 83,000 weekly deaths are now being reported, a pace of about 8 people dying every minute. So that's changed a lot since this time last year where the numbers were changing moment by moment and we were all frightened and scared and sheltering in place. We were probably, what were we? We were in our fourth week or fifth week of sheltering in place this time last year. So there were still so many unknowns. I want to talk about the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine a little bit. There is a committee that is reviewing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Again, you know it was pulled and because there were some side effects like blood clots and things of that nature. So it was pulled, and I think that we are going to find that the double dose vaccines, the Moderna and the other, is going to be the way to go. And again, it's because it's new, and you know, our bodies need an opportunity to adapt to things. And, you know, sometimes cocktail vaccines, they've even seen this sometimes with children, because what they did, you know, is put some of chicken pox, measles, rubella, all of that in one vaccine. Well, sometimes little people can't take that because it's a cocktail. They have since gotten better with that, but it does sometimes create swelling, slight fever, and all of that. So, you know, I'm glad that most of us, especially us folks that are older and again have immune system challenges, had the double vaccine, because I think they've had less side effects and, or what I've read, less side effects and all of that. So I think that is going to be the route, and they will be doing some assessment of what happened and maybe how to better the one dose over time. The other report that I want to say to you is, again, when the FDA did shut down the production of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it did so at the Baltimore plant. And so I'm not sure if it was something that was happening in the plant or if it was something actually in the vaccine. So we just need to wait, and thank goodness that it was caught, and thank goodness that the FDA said, let's stop giving it so that we do not cause any more problems. And so, again, I reported out that all Americans, adults, are now eligible for the COVID vaccine. And the UK banned to travel from India, where the spike capital, they have shut that down. With travel is still something. I was looking online to see if I could take a trip to Belgium. And no, not yet. So, you know, there's still places that we cannot go. Yes, people are going to Hawaii, and I think some Caribbean places are open, but there's still some countries that are closed off travel due to, again, the COVID vaccine. I did try to do some research on whether or not for out of the country travel, are they going to have us do something with our, you know, the COVID vaccination cards? Like, will we have to present those going into another country? Will we get a stamp at some point that goes on our passports? Will they change our driver's license? You know, the driver's license now, because it has that chip on it, has a lot of data in it. Will we do it that way? I couldn't find a firm response to that. I think there will be a lot of things that they will try and pilot to see what is the best. But I do believe at some point they're going to have some universal travel system that begin, especially in the beginning, to make sure that you are vaccinated before you travel. Now, when people are traveling, they are saying to me, yes, you know, when we had that 3-hour, we've had all of these, you know, get to the airport 3 hours early and all of that since 9/11, and they're saying, yeah, get to the airport early, because there are, you know, masks, they want to take your temperature. There are things happening at the airport when you travel that are going to delay. And unfortunately, I read there are, and you know this because many of you are on, watch YouTube, television, whatever, but you know, people are acting out. and not wanting to wear the mask. They know it is you have to when you travel, but they're already getting all the way to the plane without a mask and then getting on the plane without a mask and, you know, all of this kind of inhumanity and craziness. So you get to the airport early, and at the end of the day, you know, I know, and nor do I say to anyone, we don't have the right to tell anybody how to live their lives. I always say that. I have no right to tell you how to live your life. But at the end of the day, when you go into the public forum, when you go into the world with other people, we have established values and different things, policies and safety things, like the red light, like I think we all know we're not going to walk into a traffic when the light turns green. You know, that's for our personal safety now. So those are the kinds of things that we don't fight. You don't just go, oh, I don't care that I'm not supposed to go into the traffic when the light turns green. I'm going to walk in front of the, not if you value your life, walk in front of a vehicle. So some of the policies and things that we have for our safety are good. And we fight those little things that are good, but we're not fighting the systemic things that are separating us and making us fight each other on things that we cannot control. I can control wearing a mask to make you safe, but I can't control being black to make you feel better. You see the difference? So we fight about all this other stuff, but the things that are easy to do, and wouldn't, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket in the second of life. We fight about those things. That's one of my ponderings. Number one, that was second pondering, right? Number two pondering, I pondered that last night. Like, why is it that people will fuss about wearing a mask on a plane or wearing a mask in a grocery store, but yet they will see a person being oppressed and not say anything about that? That is weird, right? I don't know. That's a human nature, I guess. That's who we are. But I think we can do better. We can do better. So that's pondering number two. Also, I did see that Dr. Fauci was saying that the Johnson & Johnson pause, he was thinking that would be lifted by sometime next week. But the FDA, the U.S. panel and the FDA is saying not yet. So we will see, and I will report more to you about that, you know, because I think, they're supposed to meet today. So there you go. I just read that. They're going to meet. The federal advisory panel is set to meet today to potentially decide the fate of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine rollout. This is as of April 23rd, yesterday at 7:04 a.m. from the Washington Post. As more reports emerge of rare but severe blood clots, mostly in women. So they really have to figure out what's going on with that. The other thing that I'm so excited about is that the Senate is looking at passing a bill to target hate crimes against Asian Americans amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Pondering number three coming up. This is an amazing opportunity for all of us to understand that this kind of violence in our world against anyone is really, you know, we talked about that. I looked up this weekend for another meeting, and I'm actually going to be working with a colleague within another context of my life to maybe write some legislation about gun violence. I really... gun violence to me, and I learned last week from the, and I think I may have already told you this, from the American Public Health Association, now that gun violence is a public health epidemic, and that our children are 18 times more from the ages of 5 to 18 likely to be murdered or self-maim or maim another child with a gun. Wow. That was shocking to me. And you can go on the American public health the American Association for Public Health and read the report. And then we were looking at some a researcher from Harvard on a YouTube video, and they are doing research on that and the impact of that on people's lives. And the impact, I mean, can you imagine? Many of you are my age or around my age, and I'm going to tell you, at 8 years old, I was one of the happiest children on the face of the planet because I was outside playing. And yes, I did have a few tumbles in the schoolyard with some folks, because this personality that you see before you is the personality that I took in, that I brought, I came into the earth with, I'm told by my older family members. But I never, at 8 years old, thought about going home and looking for my father's gun, because, yes, my father had a gun, and going back to the schoolyard and beating and shooting and killing somebody. Never. Never, 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 never. So... And I know a lot of my we didn't, nobody, yeah, no. All the way up through high school, unfortunately, you're learning something about me. I was in segregated schools for a while, and then I was bused to a community where people didn't want us. And so, yes, I was in fights because one person spit in my face, and quite frankly, I didn't take that, and we went rumbling, okay? But, again, a person spat in my face, and I still didn't think about going home and getting my father's gun and coming back to the school and killing them and everybody that looked like them. So we need to ponder. Violence is a part of our human construct, okay? It is, because that's it. I'm not going to go biblical on you, but it's in our human construct, okay? So what is it, though, that takes us into these places of pure violence? And what have we done or not done to make this world a safe place, where a child feels like a normal little, like, give me the ball, man, or I'm taking your sandwich, man, turns into, I must kill you. You must die 18 times more. Then what has happened in a community where guns are sprayed like willy-nilly and people are innocent bystanders? Then I hear, reason I bring up the Asian hate bill, I hear that many of our Asian community neighbors, family members are so scared now. They have purchased guns. Do you know what happens to a gun in the hand of a scared person? Of a person who is so frightened for their life or so fearful of something? You know what happens. You've been watching it on the news. Somebody dies. Somebody dies. And so we got to start talking about this gun violence. I want to see, I want to see a campaign like MAD. I always talk about Mothers Against Drunk Driving because I think they were phenomenal grassroots. They just got mad enough and said, no, no. Are we mad enough yet to say no? Because I don't want to hear the argument about, well, I go hunting. I'm talking about an AK-47 being in the neighborhood that can spray like we're in a John Wayne war movie. Oh, I'm sorry to my other folks out there. Or we're in a Expendables movie, one of those movies where everybody is walking around with these guns and bullets across and just shooting everything. That does not belong in the community. And if you go and kill a deer with that, you obviously aren't eating that meat because you've annihilated that animal. That's not what's happening, people. So don't get it twisted that we're telling you that you can't go hunting. If that's your thing, if that's your gig, do that. But somebody is hunting the human beings on the face of the planet with a different weapon. So let's do something about it. Let's do something about it. Let's not get caught up in the rhetoric and the hate and the debate about, oh, I need to bear arms. Yeah, you got the right to bear arms. Yes, you do. But the arms that are killing people are not the arms that was written about. Clearly not. Clearly not. And so we need to do something. And so if it has to be a law and we need to say ban it by law and we need to also help our Asian family members, but I would also say we also need the bill to expand to all people that we feel are different and that we judge and that we kill because we don't like them or their lifestyle. We have transgender folks that are being murdered in our streets with guns, beat up mercifully. I love the way I said that. Okay, you know, and we have black people. We already know about that. That's been happening. We already know. So gun violence is about, or domestic home violence. Somebody gets mad enough, feels abused enough, bang, bang, you're dead. Something's wrong in a country where we keep saying this is the best country in the whole wide world. And you know what? It is. It is. Because you can do things here that you can't do in other places. But you're also getting away with doing harm. And that's not cool. So how do we band together like the courageous women of MAD who said, not one child will drive drunk, will set up a system so if they call you parent, just go get them. What a concept. Or we'll set up the better seatbelt laws. We'll have better laws against humans who drive drunk repeatedly, and they dropped the numbers of young people that were being killed on the highways and byways due to drunk driving. So we can make a difference, and the time is now. Gun violence has no place in a community where you say we are coming together and we need to do better. I want to talk again about the children. Doctors are warning now that they are seeing children with self-harm related injuries. COVID-19. We've been talking about COVID-19 this morning. You are on Life is a Sacred Journey. Please hit the share button, subscribe, hit the bell, do whatever mechanism you can to increase our voice across the social media spectrum, and we thank you for being here. And you have joined us in a conversation. These are my ponderings. Every other week or so, I do a solo show or broadcast, and this is my Pondering Friday. And now we are talking about children, and nationally, doctors are reporting that children are doing self-harm related. And these children are 10 years old. Yeah, this is in southeast Washington. They found that children who were coming back to school, they found that in greeting them, many of them had self-inflicted sc- scratches, marks, cuttings, and that type of thing. You know, the youngest person that has committed suicide during the COVID time due to isolation is 9 years old. So we need to understand the importance of, and I talk about this a lot with seniors, the importance of being together, the importance of doing everything we can to have community, to talk to one another. And children definitely need it more than we do as they develop. But maybe not. You know, Ashton, thank you. You're ringing in my head. Every time I do something that's an ageist thing, no, we all need to be socialized. You know, we all like to be around our friends. I come here every Friday because I love being around all of you. I may not be able to see your faces because the Zoom thing isn't working or whatever, but I know you're there, and I know we're connecting, and that gives me hope, and that gives me something. Another thing to live for is to reach out to my virtual community and say, what you thinking about? And let me bring this person to help you to learn. And these are my ponderings. I'm not giving you these things as like, this is the gospel of life. No, I'm just telling you what I'm thinking about and how I'm thinking about it. It doesn't mean you have to embrace it. It just means let's talk. Let's have a cup of coffee together, a cup of tea, and talk. That's the problem. We all think we have to agree about everything. You don't have to agree with anything that I say. I have a friend that doesn't. Me and this woman debate about everything. You know her, but I won't say her name. We debate about everything on my long rides home from work. But I love her with so much love, and we always laugh at the end, and we always joke and tease each other because it's not personal. We just have a difference of opinion about a lot of things. But it doesn't mean I can't love her. It doesn't mean she's not a part of my family. It doesn't mean that she doesn't deserve my respect. It just means I disagree with her, right? So we need to get to that place. And I wasn't always that way. So, you know, I'm not perfect, you guys. Actually, I'm probably the most imperfect human being on the face of the planet. You know, when I look at myself, I do not see perfection. And while I try to grow perfection, meaning inwardly, that's where I am now. My perfection that I'm seeking is inwardly. I'm going inward in this season of my life to just try to be a better person so that, you know, what people meet, what people face when they see me is somebody that resonates love and compassion and empathy and sympathy and just wanting to make a connection. And I think those are the human traits that, man, I hope I don't lose them. I hope I never become so jaded and cynical that every word that comes out of my mouth is negative about everything that I see. I pray for that every single day, and I pray for that for you. I want to spend another 5 or 10 minutes with you because I want to talk about the immune system. You know, I've been on this health kick for the last year since the COVID, and I I ended up fasting for 50 days. So it started as a 40-day fast with eating nothing but raw food and taking about, 30 vitamins a day at intervals of sort of every 4 hours taking 5 different vitamins for different things. So for the lymphatic, for the liver, for the heart, cardiovascular. So there were a variety of vitamins that I took. I began my 30-minute walking every day, even though I was walking the dogs. But I have to admit, there were some times during COVID that I just let them roam the backyard and that, and did not go for a walk. And so I was beginning to feel that. So I am now back to that, beginning with the 40 days. I'm drinking enough water. Also, you know, knowing not eating just greens, because greens in themselves, because of vitamin K, can also increase your probability for bleeding if you get a cut, and so you'll bleed a little more profusely. So you always want to go to your doctor. And I actually have two physicians. I of course have Kaiser as my managed care provider, and they do everything. But I also have a holistic health physician that I visit with twice a year, and we look at holistic approaches to all of the ways, like my blood pressure, making sure because diabetes runs in one side of my family, and so making sure that I never become pre-diabetic, those kinds of things, exercise, doing a little more soul work. So again, I instead of spending money on something else, I choose to spend that money on a holistic doctor over here in the Oakland area. And so I did do that for 40 days. A lot of stuff happened. My sleep got better. I went from 62% on my, which is poor, fair, on the border of fair and poor, to sleep, which means I was only getting an average of 5 hours and 45 minutes of sleep. The majority of it was REM with no deep sleep at all, maybe like 30 minutes of deep sleep. That has changed incredibly. I finally got up. I'm at 83% sleep now, which is good. I definitely am going into deep sleep. Last night I actually had almost 3 hours, and the night before almost 5 hours of deep sleep, and feeling more rested, more energized, just healthy inside. So tracking my sleep, my sensation for sweets, gone. I mean, I still use a little honey in my tea with lemon. I do drink warm lemon water at night still with a little bit of turmeric and ginger, and I put it in a tea and I drink it all together. That's my evening tati before I go to bed, and that really helps with the circulatory system, and I'm going to say it helps with your bowel movements. And you know, one of the things that I have learned, please, I don't want to offend anyone, but your bowel movements are very, very important, and you want to have more than one or two a day. And so that increased over the fasting and cleansing and all of that. I am now pescatarian. I've decided that I am plant-based mostly. I've found, and I will be sharing with you some of the great plant-based foods that I am finding. I finally, oh my gosh, I found these delicious plant-based sausages. They are wonderful. I've eaten now 5 different brands of sausages, plant-based, and they were terrible. They taste like cardboard, but these were delicious, and I will share that vendor with you. I actually have a call in to them to get permission to do so, actually to see if I can get them on Life is a Sacred Journey, but they are delicious. And so I've done that, and then I'm eating fish, you know, because I love fish, and mostly your mackerel, your salmons with the higher omega threes in them to help with, of course, cardiovascular. So exercise is important for your immune system. You want to get rid of any kind of inflammation. So being able to drink, and that's what ginger does, that's what tea does, and you'll find you will go to the bathroom more because you're flushing out stuff, and that's good. Now that I'm closer to home, in the office, but, you know, I'm not in my car so much. This is a great time to have that cleansing happen. And you want to be able to make sure that you are also eating in a way that fuels your body. You know, I do the intermittent fasting. I know a lot of people do not believe in intermittent fasting, but I do. I've been doing it now for, 5 years or so. So what that means is 12 on, 12 off for me. So what that means is I do not, in the morning when I wake up, every vitamin that I take is one that I can take on an empty stomach, because I do not, I'm not hungry. I'm not, I never was a big breakfast eater. I like breakfast food, but I don't, I don't wake up. My breakfast, coffee. But by the time that it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, between 1 and 3, I start to get a little munchy. And what I've learned through Dr. Stephen Gundry, he wrote the book, The Plant Paradox. In that, I was eating cashews and things like that, and I found out they're not so great for me. I was wondering why I kept having this belly that was so when I wasn't even eating. It's like, what's going on here? Well, I found out those things actually help to create and help you to store inflammation. But pistachios and walnuts and almonds and pecans are better nuts. So those have been my go-to snack thingies, okay? And then I actually buy them in bulk at Whole Foods, and I actually add fig. I love figs with them. I love the taste of figs. I wish my loquat trees were figs, but figs, and I cut that up in there, and I eat that as a snack. And then for dinner, and I realize now I don't eat after 8 o'clock at night. If I haven't eaten by then, I'm going to do a good power shake with all my protein, my green powder, my matcha. What else do I put in it? Spinach, kale, apple juice, a little bit of orange juice, because orange juice is highly acidic as well as sugar. That's why good oranges taste so good. And I put that, in my juicer, and then I'll do that. And then I take another, multivitamin to go to sleep with. I found out that multivitamin had so much stuff in it that I had to take it at night. It's better on my stomach at night. And I also take probiotics. So I take a 700 million probiotic, and I take them 3 times a day, again with a snack. So, and they have to be refrigerated. So I carry them in a in a thing with a ice the last two vitamins of the day. The first one in the morning, when I eat a couple of almonds and stuff. Around my house right now, I have little bowls of almonds and nuts and things high up so the dogs can't get to them. But so that I'm always able to snack if I need something. But what I'm finding is I'm not so hungry because my stomach has shrunk. And so all together in the 50 days, I lost a total of 20 pounds. Mostly water, I know. I've begun to tone because I realized I had not been exercising in that way, so I'm doing a really good workout online. I'm doing Pilates. It's an online Pilates thingy. I'm doing that because I have asthma and I can't do all that jumping and going ahead. So, but the Pilates works for me, and I'm feeling so good about it. And so, and then the 30-minute walk a day. And I'm here to tell you that 50 days, I don't want to say brand new, but what I feel is my body feels healthy. And I feel like I have more control over everything in my life as far as health is concerned. And I'm reading the labels. Oh, man, I've become a label fanatic. And if something has more milligrams of something than what is the daily requirement in one food, I don't buy it anymore. I don't eat it anymore because I don't want to eat just one thing. And then my favorite treat, oh boy, is Urban Remedy makes these cocoa mousse. Oh, they're $6 a piece, these little things. Oh my gosh. But I treat myself. You can make it, but I treat myself. Bye-bye. And I treat myself to one of those every single Friday. Last week, I ate two of them, but they are delicious. And so you also have to treat yourself, you know. But again, it's good. It's coca, and it's not. It doesn't have any preservatives or a lot of junk in it, and it tastes delicious, and it satisfies that little taste bud, that little place in my soul that still needs chocolate. And I will eat chocolate again, but not in the same way. You know, and I actually, like I said, the desire for a whole bunch of sweets is gone. So I'm excited about, you know, all the things that I'm learning about myself and the things that I can share with you. You know, I'll be your guinea pig around all of these things. The one thing that I know, though, that is happening to me in my life is I value my relationships. I value the relationships that I have with all of you, because many of you are not just virtual friends. I know you. I've spent physical space with you, and you're a part of my life journey. And I so appreciate everything that you are in my life for me. And so I just want you to know it is about loving yourself, loving those around you, so that you can just, what I have found is if I show up my best self, even those individuals who have made the decision to go to the dark side, to go to the Darth Vader side, they don't treat me that way. They may ignore me, because I'm too much. They don't believe my energy. They probably think I'm a phony, all that kind of stuff. But they don't dump on me, because they know this is not a place where I will foster that. I won't foster that kind of energy. I won't allow that kind of energy. So I think we can make this world a better place if we just go out into the world the way we want the world to be. And it doesn't mean ignore those people who are feeling pain, because only people who feel pain and hurt cause pain and hurt. It means just knowing they need a smile, but don't get so intertwined that it takes you down to a place where you become what you see. So I'm so thankful every Friday to be able to come here and share with you somebody that is doing great work in the world. Or if I'm sitting here solo, just to ponder with you what I'm thinking about, because I would do it if you were at my house and we were drinking wine, or if you were at my house having lunch. This is exactly the conversations I would be having with you. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody who purchased a ticket or donated to Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay second virtual wine event that will take place tomorrow from 2 to 4 with our dear friend Nicole from Sip and Share, the Queen Sis. Just so thankful. I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for the opportunity every day. Grateful for all of you. And I pray that your life will be great today, that you will go out and kiss a tree, hug a tree in honor of Earth Day, if you didn't get a chance to do it yesterday. Look up at that blue sky and know that it is wondrous and mass, and it's holding all of us together, and thank the science of our Earth for making it possible for us to not float into outer space and that we can breathe oxygen freely. When you break it all down, it's all very simple. We are intertwined with the Earth. We are intertwined with each other. And everything that we do to Mother Earth and everything that we do to each other affects the quality of life for someone who you may never see. So again, my name is Michelle Pope, and you've just spent almost an hour with Life is a Sacred Journey. Go out into the world. Be the best you can be. Hug a tree. Hug yourself. And know that you are magnificently and wonderfully made, and be the peace. Be the peace. Give the peace that you want to see in the world today. And I hope that your journey in life is just that, peaceful. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'll see you next Friday when we have our guest. that will talk about this incredible youth summit that maybe you know some youth, foster care youth, homeless, unsheltered youth. If they're in your community, let's figure out a way to get them engaged with the youth summit, because that is what this is about. Believe it or not, we've got homeless young people on the street. We have young people that have been disenfranchised by fostering, by being in the foster care system. And let's figure out a way to make the world a better place, because those experiences, getting through those things, will make them profound leaders in the future if someone just takes their hand and shows them the way. I dig all of you. I think you're a wonderful group of people, and I'm so honored to be in this circle of life with you. Have a good weekend. Peace.